In our study of the Gospel of John, bringing out the wonderful deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, the Word become flesh. And God is showing us the wonderful purpose of a human being by giving us in a wonderful illustration in his wonderful person in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, perfect God and perfect man. Perfect deity, perfect humanity, all in one. God, what was your intent to create us? Why are we here? Where are we headed? Where are we going? What's it all about anyway? Why do we get out of bed in the morning, etc.? Now, and thus the Lord Jesus Christ, in declaring and making known to the Jewish people, leadership, why he was God. You're making yourself equal with God. And in his perfect humanity, deity he is, but in his perfect humanity he was. He was in the place to wonderfully represent and reflect in his perfect humanity for God to demonstrate who he was. So to see the Lord Jesus Christ as we studied and as he said, to see him is to see the Father. You want to see the Son? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, you'll see the Father in the Son. Now, having said that, we shared together that particular thought that is so awesome and needing to be very clear. Often, too often, very absent. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you, Amen, amen. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Son can do nothing of himself. We slid down to verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just and righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not valid, is not true, is not legit. I can't do that. My witness is to witness why I'm created. Why did God create me in my perfect humanity? To reflect and represent a wonderful God so that humans would understand. God, you, we are created in a most remarkable and wonderful way. Over to Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, may I go directly in the light of the context to verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, Genesis 1:1, etc., from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? So that God is clearly known. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So here's a human being living on planet Earth, and God has made it so that the human being living on planet Earth can see his wonderful creation. No matter where they live, in a mountain, valley, desert, island, wherever they live, there's creation, bugs, birds, beasts, all around them. Verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. God, that's right. Even how much would we understand his eternal power, the marvelous ingenuity, wonderful ability of God to create bugs, birds, snowflakes, the dust, snow hits the ice, the water, snow hits dust and makes little snowflakes. And those wonderful snowflakes are all different. Birds are all different. Thousands and thousands of bugs, beetles, everything distinctly different. Wow, all the flowers are different. Wow, what ability. God said, take a look at the world around you to know my wonderful, awesome ability. Verse 20, to know even the end, even the eternal power and Godhead, my deity, so that they are without excuse. So God, here we are on planet Earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is helping us understand what we just read. God, you've come, you made human beings to be on planet Earth to be able to honor you. I'm going to slide down, if you're still there in Romans, to verse 25. What did the unsaved heart do? Who changed the truth, the reality of God, into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So looking at all of creation, what did humans do? They worshipped it. They worshipped creation. Bugs, birds, bees, stars, astrology, that's what they did. They worshipped creation, not the Creator. Now, what do we know about bugs, birds, beasts, and all of that? Well, we know that they're only what they are. They are made, as we shared last time or so, to remind yourself that all bugs, birds, beasts, spiders, all kinds of things, everything, anything you want to talk about, has instinct. And it wonderfully has instinct. And it's able to do, and without any training, without any preparation, with no school, no time, the little bird, the little spider can quickly go, mature, and goes and builds a nest exactly like its mother, father. The butterfly goes to the same tree 6,000 miles away. No one gave it directions. It just knows what to do. Instinct. The salmon swim out and swim back. They exactly know where they came from. Little babies, and they swim out, and they swim all the way back. And they get confused when we go and start playing with the waterways. Wow. Now, so here's all of that instinct. All of that. Do you know? And very rarely, you watch a little elephant born, a little elephant wiggles around and finally stands up and gets a little food from its mommy, and pretty soon it's tromping through the woods, jungle, as another elephant, doing what the old elephant does. Wow. So now, God, here we are, humans. And you know, as humans, here we are, little babies. We're born little babies. And you know what? We without human help and care, the average little baby born in the average nursery, the little baby there, if we don't come quickly and feed, care, and tend for it, it will what? Die. If we leave that little baby there and we never talk to it and just feed it, lock it in the closet, as it were, and feed it and do whatever, that little baby doesn't know what it is to be a human, doesn't know what an elevator is, doesn't know what a car is, has never seen an orange tree, doesn't know anything about life. It has to learn it. It has to learn it. Humans do not have instinct. They have God. God. All different. Humans have God. That's how they were made. God didn't make them like animals. He could have. We could have been instinctively made to do whatever. But God didn't make us like that. He made us in his image and likeness. Over, if you would please, to Genesis 1 again. Genesis chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating humanity. What is a human made, designed for? God. As we shared last time, the car is made for gas. The gas, the car can be wonderful. You can wax it, paint it. You own it. You were given it. But it can't run without gas. It's made for gas. So you can push it and all get together and have a great rally, but none of you run. Without the cars don't go anywhere without gas. You can push them and pull them, a whole lot of us pull them, but there's no life. They need gas. Humans need God. They're designed for God. And so humans are stuck. They can't be what they're normally supposed to be. Without God, they're subnormal. Humans, animals are right. Animals. Animals don't get drunk. Animals don't do all kinds of things. Humans do. Drugs and everything. Why? Because we don't know how to put it together, and without God we can't. Point, Genesis 1. Just to remind you that humans were made in the image and likeness of God, verse 26 and 27, and for time's sake, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that is upon, that moveth upon the face of the water. So here we are, God blessed them. They were to have a wonderful relationship to each other, humans. They were to have a wonderful relationship to everything in the air, everything in the ground, and everything in the ocean. They were to have a unique personal involvement, relationship with everything. Wonderful, wonderful, simple, enjoyable relationship with all of creation. That's the plan. Wow. Now, and they were to rule. They were to rule. How could they have this relationship? How could they rule over all of the animals and all of the fish and all of the birds? How could they have dominion, rule over all of it? Because they are not having instinct. They do not just follow suit. God in them, God would be their God. And God, who is the ruler, the creator, all of the creation is viewed by the creature, humans. Humans see the creation, and they reflect to the all of everybody, including the angels, good and bad, God's wonderful right to be who he is. God has the right to rule and reign, and he's showing that in vessels of dust. Human dust, dust, dust. And he takes vessels of dust and shows his wonderful person to the world. He's the ruler. Now, birds and animals and dinosaurs and rhinoceroses, they can't do that. But humans can. Humans can demonstrate the magnificence of the Creator in the creation as they honor the God who created it. And thus, all of it works together to show a happy, holy, harmonious movement between God and the human heart and the world they live in. Wow. Now, that's God's wonderful, wonderful plan. And thus, God, the Lord Jesus will say, without God, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. How could you possibly fulfill the purpose of you being alive without God? You can't do it. We got religion up to here, but religion isn't going to do a thing, no matter what you do. Religion, as we shared in Sunday school, you got to have life. Dead people have to have life. And that's what they have to have. You can read the Bible and do this and do that, but it ain't going to give you any life. Only Christ, as you allow him to be your Lord and Savior, gives you life. Now, so here in Genesis, as they were given this marvelous, marvelous privilege to be who they are, to practice this unique relationship, to practice the wonderful person of God who he is, and thus they would be able to say, Adam and Eve, about their God, about God who created them, God said, I am to you all that you need. To them. Now, Adam and Eve sinned, And thus, sin, they lost the relationship, as we shared in Sunday school. Now, in the light of that, so here the Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I have a unique relationship to the Father, like the animal has to instinct. Instinct. The animal doesn't challenge its instinct. The animal doesn't start saying, well, I've seen another spider, a black widow spider and a brown spider, and I'm a brown spider, and there's a black widow spider, and I've seen a black widow's nest or web, and hey, that looked pretty nice. I think maybe I'll try it. Would the brown spider try it? Instinctively, it can't try it. It must follow suit and produce a brown spider's web. It must do it. It has no choice. We had choice. God gave it to us. And we chose sin. We chose not to be like, follow the devil's lead. We chose not. And thus we disconnected. Over, if you would please, to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, if I may, just taking a simple statement that would help us. When we leave God out, when you leave gas out of the car, it can't run. When you leave God out of the life, it can't fulfill its purpose. It can't do it. It has intellect and brilliance and brains and brawn and genius, but it can't fulfill life. And God made us so unique in our abilities, because after all, we're not a kangaroo. God made us in his image and likeness to say, I am, I will, I ought, I am morally responsible. Now, Galatians chapter 6, what about humans? And I'm going to pick up, if I may, directly the statement in verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is how much? Nothing. He deceives whom? Himself. I'm something. That's sin. I'm something. I'm something without God. I'm something without... I serve myself, my selfness, without God. I am something. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. God hates pride. Pride exalts self. He hates it. Of all the things he lists, the first thing is pride. Dumb pride. That's what the devil had. Proud. Proud. Now, so, if a man think he's something when he's not, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now, that spirit, an age-old human attitude spirit, goes all the way through history to where we are today, into the tribulation. And may I remind you, take a little over to Revelation chapter 3 again. In the end of the age, the church, the age, right now we're living in it. Right now we're living in it. Characteristic of the day. We want to leave God out of the picture totally. We don't want to think we need God like that. No, that's unacceptable. Revelation 3, verse 17. Speaking of the church in Laodicea, they say, what are they saying? Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You have an assumption that you're something when you're nothing. You have an assumption that you've got programs and theories and everything you're going to do to make either your religious life or your social life or your political life, you're going to make it acceptable. And you're going to do it. And we're going to make the church. If the church won't work one way, we'll do it another way. But I didn't think it was your church. I thought it was his church. No, it's become our church. And so that's what we do. And so here we are looking at the day. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to understand the super marvelous wonderment of what I've made possible. That you, designed for God, and God looks forward to finding his home in your heart for you to find fulfillment, freshness, fullness in who he is. To be able to enjoy God of all critters on the face of the earth, you are privileged above them all. Wow. Now, hang on to that. That's true. Now, for us, just to lay a little bit more in front of us, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3, if I may. Picking up, please. I'm going to go, if I can, to verse 20 directly, if I may. 3 and 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above A-L-L, all that we ask, all that we ask, all that we think, all that we could do, all that we could dream, according to the power that worketh in us, not us, but the power that worketh in us, the wonderful outworking of the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. To outwork that life, we are able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, God. So in our nothingness, we're able to have God's allness. So that what are we unable to handle of life? Find something in God's word that even suggests to you that you can't win. Find something that allows you to be depressed, depleted, disappointed, discouraged. Find something in it. You won't find it. You won't find it because God never intended those things. He gave you the right to be above and beyond and over them. Wow. So now, over, if you would, one more place, please. 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And again, all kinds of statements. I'm just trying to get a couple in front of you to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 8. And God is able to make A-L-L, all grace. All grace what? Abound in your direction. Why? That you always having A-L-L, all sufficiency. Why? So that you can be all sufficient in all things. A-L-L. That, all things, so that in all things you may abound in every, all, good work. Whatever it is, you are completely sufficient in everything at all times. Wow. God, you meant that. I did. I'm trying to tell you. Wow. You mean if I have gas in the car, I can run and go this way and that way, and I can drive my car? That's right. It has power. Your life needs God to have the power to live, outlive the life that God had meant for you. And so that in everything, you would be able to live, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do to the glory of God. You're able to do it. Wow. Now in the light of that, illustrate. Okay. Order, if you would please, go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis and chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, you would recall Abraham, God called Abraham after the Noahic flood. God called Abraham and he made him a wonderful promise. I'll read verse chapter 12. Verse 2 to save time. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Blessed. Blessed means to what? Blessed means to kneel. Used of camels, when they go down on their knees. They crouch down. Down they go. That's the word, to kneel, to crouch, down. That's used of bending down the heart to God and used for worship, devotion. You're honoring God, bowing, kneeling. What are you doing? Blessing. I'm going to bless God. I recognize that everything I have, the riches, the peace, the joy, the watch care, the protection, the provision, everything I have is from you, God. I bend my knee, recognizing you are the source of all of that. You are the gas in the car. You are the God in my life. And I bow down. And the word turned around, God blessed the people. God gave them all that. And the people in turn bless God. They come back to God and say, God, thank you. Simple. I recognize it all came from you. Thank you. Wow. The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing in myself. I receive all of the wonderment of God so that I can fulfill the wonderful Creator's purpose, even for you to know the Lord and Savior. Now, having said that, over, if you would, in Genesis 12, you have a family. God is going to bless a man. God is going to bless the nation. God is going to bless the nations. Three things. Man, nation, nations. God's going to bless them. God's going to bless them. That's right. Now, let's see how it goes. Now, over, if you would, Genesis. Chapter 14. Genesis 14. And we're looking at this little word, blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? God, you're going to provide everything. That's correct. Your nothingness and my allness. Or, to use it again, here's the glass. Here's the vessel. And God, the vessel is made to hold, to contain. It could contain poison or good things or bad things. God said, I made you for me to find expression. As the little poem goes, I made you to water the lilies I made. All the lilies of the field, I take your little life and show that I created them. I made them. And your little life walking up down through the flowers shows my wonderful creativity. I have someone honoring the butterfly show and everything else. Wow, I'm just that. Yeah, that's right. You're just a branch. And without me, John 15:5, you can do how much? You can't do anything. Don't you see? But no, we got to work at it. We got to do this. No, that won't do anything. You've got to have life. And we're going to go and do this, and we're going to go to that, and we're going to be religious, and it isn't going to go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. You all know that. All the efforts you put out, all the efforts you do. What do you got when you're done? When you're done, you say, well, I'm not done yet. I'm going to get more. Well, listen, I want you to just be aware. You don't have to be aware. You know it. You know. How long would it take you to realize that everything you think you can have and be and do will disappear? All I need to do is have a given bug, bacteria, virus hit you. And you will be so weak and so emaciated. All of your dreams will be gone. And you haven't even died yet. You haven't even died. And all of your aspirations have disappeared, haven't they? Say, not me. Wrong. You and I are very susceptible. We're frail, faulty. God, you've got to help us. Are you going to help Abraham? How are you going to make Abraham a blessing? How are you going to make the blessing to the world? How are you going to make yet the world be blessed? Chapter 14, Abraham went, and you'll remember. He went and God gave him his 318 or whatever. His 318 men went and took all those kings and rescued Lot from the king of Sodom and rescued them rescued, took all the goods back, saved Lot, brought them back. And in the process, remember Melchizedek met them and God gave them. How did Abraham, how did you ever know you could go fight five kings, whatever it was? How could you do that? What gives you the stuffing to go out and do that? God did. God did. I got God going. Well, then God, are you going to demonstrate to experience, help Abraham experience? He trusted you. You gave him the victory. God encouraged his heart. He did. Chapter 14. And in verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed, there's your word, blessed him, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all, and Abraham and Melchizedek transacted business before the Most High God. And God, what did you learn? Abraham, are you learning God's allness and your nothingness? Yes. Abraham, what do you need of the world to survive? You just went, you could be, you're already rich. You could be super rich with all the goods that you captured, the king of Sodom and all of it, the kings. Verse, you know what he said, don't you? In verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I will lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And I will not take from a thread even to a shoelace. And that I would not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten. In other words, the men that went to fight, they deserved their portion, their share of the booty, and the portion of the men that went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. And now, having said that, God, he just said, God, Abraham, are you seeing God sufficient? I am. Boy, you got a way to go, but I'm getting there. You got to work through, you got to learn it. You don't walk out of here and say, I got it. I'm nothing and God's everything. That's true. But you got to work it out. You got to experience it. You can't just be whatever and never get anywhere. You got to have something going. You just talk. And your talk can't last 5 minutes out there. It has no power. Life has power. Life has power. Wow. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying. But you know, if I didn't have life, guess how much it would be like? You know, I'd be like, be dumb. Power, life. You got to have life. Wow. Now, chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What did you just learn, Abraham? I just learned that in my nothingness, God is all. He's going to protect me all. How much protection do I need? I need all kinds of protection. God, you provide it. You are my all. You provide for me. You protect me. You give me the promises. You fulfill them all. You make them work. My humanness, my human somethingness isn't going to do it. My human somethingness isn't going to work out anything. Not at all. Chapter 16, remember we went, and remember chapter 16, they're going to go, we need a child, we're going to go, and we end up with Hagar, we end up with Ishmael, and we're going to try to produce something. Abraham is 86 years old, God waits 13 more years, he waits, you're going to have a child, and we're going to have Ishmael, we're going to try to help you, God. You don't have to help God, you don't help the gas in the car, you just use it. You don't help God. You let God be God. How do you help God? I don't know how to help God. How do you help him be God? How do you help him be who he is? You can't. All you can do is let him be it. Let him be it. You let your heart beat, don't you? Don't you let your heart beat? You don't control your heart. Now, I know you say I have great control. Well, you may. But your heart just does what it does in a great, wonderful sequence. And it does that. You don't control it. We don't control anything, actually. We don't control the air. We try to have filters and get the germs. But hey, we don't control God. Abraham, do you see that? I do. And Abraham, you're going to try to work out the promises of God and make it work? You're going to work God's will for your life? We're going to try, but you're doing it the wrong way. You're going to give your somethingness will make it work. No, your somethingness doesn't make it work. Now, chapter 17, verse 1. Abraham is 99 years old. 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Have a wonderful singleness of heart, wholeness of heart. I want you to do that. I want you to trust me. I want you to fix yourself on my allness, on who I am. I don't want you to fix yourself on your selfness. I don't want you to do that. Forget yourself. Chapter 21, if I may. In chapter 21, picking up, please, you're going to believe God. You waited 13 more years. You say, well, why couldn't I learn that? It took 13 more years after getting it before Abraham was ready and Sarah to put it together. Think of your life. If you put the truth together right this morning, boom, 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 you'd walk out of here and boom, wow. But you know, it comes and goes, and some gets in the ear and some doesn't. And when we think about it, maybe we'll think about it. I got other things to think about. Our learning process is not quite so good. We don't learn well that way. So God, what are you going to do? Well, God waited 13 years and long before being angry. And Sarah conceived, chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. She conceived and had Isaac. Wonderfully, wonderfully Isaac. God gave the promise. God did it when Abraham and Sarah were totally incapable of doing it. Chapter 22. Abraham, are you learning that it's God's allness and your nothingness? Everything I try to do, God waits till I can't do anything. We're both crippled, 199 years old. We can't do anything. How are we going to have children? How are we going to fulfill it? God? But they believed God. Isn't that interesting? Well, they couldn't do it. God had got them to the place where they were absolutely out of business, and they believed God. When they were in business, they couldn't believe God. When they were out of business, they did believe God. And God did it. Think of Hudson Taylor and all those things, the missionaries. Hudson Taylor wanted this and wanted that, and a wonderful will and program of a missionary wanted that. And God put him down. God put him down to bed. Put him down to bed. And when he was down in the bed, he couldn't go anywhere. He just had to lay there. Couldn't do anything to help the missionaries, to help anything. He couldn't do it. And he lay there and looked to God and trusted him. And when he was doing it, God did all the stuff that he said he would do. And he didn't need Hudson Taylor running around. He just needed to believe him. That's all. But we're too caught up in trying to get God's wonderful work, word. So now, chapter 22, and you remember, what did Abraham do? Abraham went and offered his only son. You remember chapter 22? He brought his son, teenage son or so, and brought his son up there to the mountain to die. He offered him. Isaac is the promised son, and he's going to offer him to God. He's going to give back the fruit of his faith. He trusted God for Isaac, and now he's going to give Isaac back. God, you gave me all these things. You don't have to hug them and hold them. Hug them and hold them. They're God's. No one can take them. You don't have to covet them. You're free. You're free. God gives, and God can take away. Blessed be the name of God. He does whatever he wants. And you gave me Isaac. I'm going to give Isaac. You want Isaac back? And here's all the promises, and here's how's it ever going to work? God, I don't know. In my nothingness, I don't know. But in your allness, what can't you do? So I'm going to give back the one source, the seed of Abraham, Isaac. I'm going to give him back. And we're going to go, and you want me to kill him. You want me to kill him. Wow, I do. Abraham was willing. God just wanted to see if he was willing. And thus, dear friend, verse 16, 22 and 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hath not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thine enemies. God, you are going to bless Abraham. God, Abraham is discovering my allness in his nothingness. And thus, if I may, going to verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's how Genesis 12 is going to happen. Because thou hast, what did Abraham do? He obeyed my voice. The word obey, the verb obey, means to give ear, to give an ear witness, to be an ear witness to what God has said. I am an ear witness. God said that. I heard what he said. I am a witness, an ear witness to what God has said. Abraham obeyed. He was an ear witness to what God had said, and God blessed him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. Now, having said that, and you got that, and God blessed Isaac, and God blessed Abraham, and Isaac, he blessed Isaac, he did. The same words he used, blessing, the same verb, the same noun of Isaac, you're going to bless him. He did bless him. He did. Isaac. And here comes out of Isaac, comes Esau and Jacob. Wow. And God, you hate, Esau is against you. Jacob is for you. Now, are you going to, Esau doesn't care 2 cents about your allness. It cares only about its own self, his own self. To hunt and satisfy his own soul and stomach. That's all. That's all. No, I'm going to teach. Fine, I found a man that would seek me, and that's Jacob. And I take Jacob. Over, if you would please, to chapter 32. You know. Jacob and chapter 32. So Isaac, they're all learning. What are you guys learning? You're learning that it isn't you. It's a wonderful God who does wonderful things. And you're looking to God to do them. And it isn't your anything, it's God's everything. So you're trusting God with all your heart to do it. So now here's Jacob, remember? Jacob had all those years with Laban up there, 20-something years. And he was, because of his fooling around, and he ended up, you know, God, Laban deceived him and all that stuff. And he ended up with his wives, and he ended up with all that big lots of animals. God blessed him in it all, but his heart wasn't right. His heart was going to get right, though. And he returns back to go back and sees his brother Esau. Esau's going to kill him, he thinks. He was going to. And so Esau's there, and they're marching back with all those animals and all his family. And he goes at the end of the line, remember, because he figures if Esau sees all those animals, he'll be happy. If he sees all those people, he say, wow. And so Esau could be sort of a little king over a larger kingdom. And so he goes on, and he gets there, and Esau, and of course, as they get close to Esau, Jacob starts running backwards, as you remember. And if I may, in verse 26, and he said, let me go. Remember, oh, I've got to read a little ahead of that. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, made him a cripple, limping, lame, touched his thigh, the hollow of his thigh, and was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. So here God made it so he couldn't run anymore, couldn't run fast, couldn't run away from God. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, because he's now, the pre-incarnate Christ had put him out of business physically. And therefore, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Bless me. You bless me. You need to be to me what I'm not. I'm not able to handle life. You need to be to me. So now, verse 28. Verse 27. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. So, Jacob, you hung in there, and you didn't abandon. You realize now, at the end it seems, that God has to win. You aren't going to beat God. You aren't going to know the will of God for your life. You aren't going to enjoy being a human being. You're trying to becoming and going, manipulating and maneuver through work, home, play, school, eating, drinking, coming, going, government and news and media and world events, and you're trying to keep it. And you aren't winning. You aren't winning at all. No, I'm not. Therefore, God, I'm going to have to look to you. I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let go. Not going to let go. Isn't that good? Wow. He had it. He had you, Jacob, you got it. He said, God, I can't do it without you. Therefore, verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, What tell me, I pray thee, thy name? And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. God blessed him there. God blessed him. God provided for him in a most wonderful way. So here he is, Abraham, as Abraham understood, Isaac understood, Jacob, what are you learning? What are you guys learning? That you got to leave, if you want things to work out, you're going to have to look to God. And if you want the fullness of the benefits, you want certain satisfaction, you want sure success, you're going to have to look to God. And your humanity at its best can be no more than it is. You can be no more than what you are. How could you be more than what you are? You might dream about being something else, but you only are what you are, aren't you? How could you be something else? You can't. You can't be something else. So in your humanness, the world system isn't going to help you. The government isn't going to help you. The system, people, persons, places, things, they aren't going to help. If circumstances were different, that isn't going to help you. If conditions were different, that isn't going to help you. No, it isn't. It isn't going to do anything. It's just going to make the car sit there. Change the circumstances, change the conditions, change the everything. It won't work. It won't make anything happen. No. Humans can only be humans. They're designed for God's deity, designed for God, and for God's blessing. God wants to bless himself in your heart. Is that all right? God wants to move, empty his wonderful, bring it, wonderful fullness into your heart. That is to bless you. God wants to be in you a blessing. That means he wants to bring everything he is to you. And you, in turn, say thank you and bless him. For that's where it all came from. It doesn't come. Glory belongs to you, God. Not to me. Not to me at all. So therefore, considering the outworking of God, would you go over with me, please, to Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 1. I hope you got a little bit, you know. Ephesians chapter 1. May I go, please, in God's wonderful, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we just thought about that. And we were going to bless him because he has blessed us. With what? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All the spiritual resources are in heaven. You can't look to the government. You can't look to the gold mine. You can't look to the silver. You can't look and say, I'm going to get it. No. God is going to bless you not with something that's tangible and faulty. He's going to bring all of the wonderment of heaven's resources to the human heart. He's going to bless you. Are you blessed? Now, God, help me some more. Over, if you would, chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of. I want you to give me that. I'm going to spell it out. H-I-S. It isn't too hard. Only three letters. I want you to know the hope of His, H-I-S, calling, and what the riches of the glory of H-I-S, His inheritance in the saints. So far, it's all of God. Okay, I'm going to go down. Verse 19. And that in the exceeding greatness of H-I-S power, His power, to us who believe according to the working of H-I-S, His mighty power. So far, I got that. Got that. Down to verse 22. And that put all things under H-I-S, His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the body of believers, which is the church, not building a brick and mud and stone. Which is the body, which is His body, not our body, it's His. So a believer that's really with it and got connected, not to the system and to religion, to church, got connected to God. I understand what it's about. My nothingness and your allness. That's right. That's what it's about. God, that you would be all in all. It's your body. That's why. Do you all have bodies? Most of you. You have bodies. And do you know what? You have arms, ears, nose, eyes, throat, blood, brains, don't you? Do you use your body? Don't you control this? Don't you? If I say, raise your hand, couldn't you do that? Why would your hand raise? Because you commanded it to, right? You control your body, don't you? You run it. Would you want someone else to run it? How would you like going in the restaurant and three other people down the road order for you? You try to speak and their words are over your words. It's your body, your ordering, your heart, your mind. You control it. Whose body are believers? They're His. And He has the right to be all in all to the body. It's His body for His life. Yeah. Now, and so verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. God, you have made it so that we sitting here belong to your wonderful person and your resurrected body sitting at the right hand of God. We are connected to you in a unique way as you are the head and we are the body. And we enjoy the same life, your life. Where does your life come from as you sit at the right hand of God in your humanity? It comes from God. That life that you bring to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Him as my Savior, God the Son. And God the Son makes possible the wonderful life of the resurrected life of Christ in my heart. And I'm able to have that wonderful life. Wow. And so that I have all of that benefit. I do, legitimately, rightly so. So that I can say, for this I have Jesus. For this moment, in the next 4 million moments, 4 million seconds, I have you. And you have me. I have you. And you have me. What an arrangement. My availability for all that you make available to me. Wow. That's Christianity. It's not a cult. It's not some stupid legalism thing where you're going to go and keep the law and do that because you couldn't keep the law like we shared in Sunday school. It just condemns you, that's all. It just condemns you. God in His wonderful grace has done something wonderful to be blessed. To be blessed. Blessed of God. God bless you. Huh? God bless you. You know what that means a little more? When I say that? You know, it isn't just a nice little saying, have a good day. Now, God bless you. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and thank you. Set apart, God, what can we do? Nothing. To discover the wonderment of your personal, caring, permanent, immediate involvement in a moment-by-moment walk, inch by inch, day by day, looking to you with all our heart. God, Spirit of God, take care of this in every heart that would receive it, and convict every heart that won't. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.